Isn't it nice when we have great weather like we've got this morning? Doesn't it feel like spring? And sad to say, because we're human, we feel much more like worship today, don't we, than if it was miserable and wet and raining outside, don't we? Well, some of you don't want to admit it, but I'll be quite honest with you, I do. This kind of day makes me feel really good to be alive. I chose this morning's opening song earlier in the week when it wasn't like this. But hey, this is one that this morning we can sing with gusto. It's number 425. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made. Now today, as I'm sure you're all aware, is a very special day. And I'm not saying that's just because I've come to take the service. Can anybody tell me what is special about today? I'm just going to see how many hands go up. Who can tell me what's special about today? Come on then. It's Mother's Day, that's right. And you all remembered it now, haven't you? How many of you remembered it the moment your eyes opened this morning? That's good. How many mums were pampered nicely this morning, or got a special treat or a special present? Well, I can see, five. Five, I'm sure there's, today, a very special day, and to celebrate mothers. Actually, if you really want to go back to the roots of Mother's Day, it's got nothing to do with our human mums at all. Did you know that? Mother's Day started when people took a day out to remember the church as their mother and brought their gifts, and it was known as Mothering Sunday. But obviously, over the last... Well, I can certainly remember when it was more often called Mothering Sunday than Mother's Day, so it can't be that long ago, can it? But certainly in recent years, the focus tends to be on our mums. I don't have a problem with that. Certainly, I went to see my mum in the week, and took her some presents, and because I knew I wouldn't get to see her today. And my children had something special for their mum. It was a good job I bought it for them earlier in the week to make sure that they didn't forget. And they'd got carefully chosen cards, I know, because I chose them as well. And I can say that because she's not here, so I'm not giving the secret away. But of course, if that bit goes on the internet, I might be in trouble later. Or rather, my children might be. But we'll see. We'll see. But I was reading this week, you know, about a complaint from somebody much younger who wasn't a mum, and who said, well, if we have Mother's Day, when we have to make mum her breakfast in bed, and then we have to make her the dinner, and then we have to pamper her and give her special treats and presents and look after her, maybe we should have a children's day. How about that? Yeah? I think we should have a children's day once a year when we get breakfast made for us, yeah? And when we get looked after and waited on hand and foot. And shall we have a special day like that? What do you think, mums? We have 364 days like that, don't we? Except this year we've got 365 because we had Leap Year's Day on Friday. And, well, at least a chance today to show how much we appreciate what you do. And isn't it true, children, boys and girls, how much mums know about us? Now, I'm going to surprise a mum this morning. I don't know which one yet, but I want to demonstrate about knowing things. And I want to lead into thinking about how much God knows us. And I've got a very special trick. I don't normally do card tricks, but this one is very special. And I need a mum to volunteer to come and help me with this card trick. Let me tell you what I'm going to do, all right? It's just a pack of cards. I need a mum because you'll know all the cards in this pack, right? And what I want you to do is to think of any card you like, and without even taking it from the pack, I'm going to name that card. Volunteer? Oh, come on then. That's it. Come up and stand here with me. That's it? Okay? Yep. So, all you've got to do, any of the cards, it doesn't matter. I just want you to think of it and hold it in your mind. All right? And I'm going to name that card. Now, you're not thinking about it very much at the moment. That's better. Right? That card is Lucy.
No, it's not Lucy.
It's not Lucy, isn't it?
No.
Oh, what was it called then?
The Five of Hearts.
The Five of Hearts. Oh, well, actually, what you didn't know is that if you look at my cards, on the back of them, there are lots of girls' names, okay? And they're all four-letter girls' names. And what did I say your card was called?
Lucy.
Lucy. And you said your card was the?
Five of Hearts.
The Five of Hearts. Okay, let me see if I can... Oh, look. There it is. There's the Five of Hearts. Would you just like to have a look and tell me what it's called?
Lucy. That's a good trick.
Do you like that? Do you know you can do that trick?
How can I do it?
I'll show you how you can do that trick. What I want you to do is I'm going to think of a card... And you've got to name it. Right? Now, all you have to do is think of a four-letter girl's name. There's lots of them here, all right? And they're all, you know. So just think of four-letter girl's name.
Yep.
But if you give me the name before I give you the card, because I might have memorized all the cards in the pack, that wouldn't be very fair, would it? So I'm going to have to tell you what my card is before you give me the name.
Yes.
All right?
That makes sense.
So.
Yes.
I want you to think of the name first, though, because then I've got to think, right, the Four of Hearts, okay? So, four-letter girl's name, what name did you think of?
Ruth.
Okay, let's see if we've got a Ruth in here. Erin, Mary, Tess, June, Dawn, Lisa, Edna, Beth, Jane, Ruth. Okay, and what did I say the card would be? The Four of Hearts. Would you like to have a look?
He's really good.
Thank you very much. I'll let you sit down now. Now, how about that? Ruth, the Four of Hearts, you see? Now, I have to tell you that was a trick. But God knows us. And we started off thinking about our mums, didn't we? And how much our mums know about us. God knows all about us. He knows the things that concern us. He knows the things that make us happy. And God always wants the best for us. And one of the things we're going to be thinking about this morning is how we want to make sure that we don't worry about things that we needn't worry about. And we'll have a reading about that a little bit later on. Do you think I could have my balloon back? I should need that a little bit later. Thomas? Thank you. Thank you very much. That's it. It's all right. I've got a spare for later, just in case. Okay, shall we take up our offering, please? I couldn't believe this when I saw it on the shelf in the shop, and I had to buy it, because this little device has proved to be worth every penny. And all it is like an old-fashioned mangle, and it's got various rollers and things like this, and it's advertised as a money-making machine. And this is fantastic, right? Because if you take a piece of paper the size of a banknote and put it between the rollers here, look at that. How's that? Would anybody like to buy it off me? You would, yeah. Well, it's mine. It's great, isn't it? Look at that. And I just had to show you that, because one of the things that worries us a lot of the time, particularly grown-ups, is money. Am I right? Joe, when I first got married, I was the one who looked after our finances at home. So every so often, once a week or so, I'd gather all the receipts and I'd enter them all onto a spreadsheet and work out how much we'd spent and work out how little we'd got left and how much we owed the bank and so on. And it was a real chore. And my wife knew that if I'd been sorting out the money that evening, I would be pretty grumpy by the time I'd finished. So in her love for me, and out of the goodwill of her heart, she said, let me look after that for you. So now she does it. And so about once a week, she sits at the computer and she looks through all our receipts and she sees how much we spent and how much we owe the bank, and she puts it all down. And I've learned that after she's been doing that, she's the one who gets grumpy, not me. But isn't it true how we can be very concerned about money and about finance? Jesus told us that this was not what we should be worrying about. And in fact, we'll have a reading in a short while, after we've had our next song, where Jesus tells us the things that people worry about and how they shouldn't be concerned. If any of you have been to foreign countries where people don't have much of this, you'll understand that we are so dependent on money in our society here, and we get so fixed on it, we think it's vitally important. But actually, we don't need money to live. What we're going to do is we're going to sing a song to remind us about how faithful God is. We're going to sing number 894, Lord, I Come Before Your Throne of Grace. The chorus tells us what a faithful God we have, and a reminder of God's faithfulness. And when we've sung this, I'm going to bring you a reading from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talks about many of the things that worry us and concern us. Let's sing together, 894. If you have your church Bibles, would you turn to page 971, which is Matthew chapter 6. And verse 19, we'll start, but page 971 in the Pew Bible, Matthew 6:19. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I just thought, as a little exercise, we think for a few moments about some of the things that we worry about, and especially from that passage. So if you've already closed your Bible, maybe you need to open it and find it again. And I'm going to blow up a balloon. Right. Okay? Because what I thought we would do, in that passage that we read, I found five key things that people worry about a lot of the time. And what I'd like you to do, please don't bend it over, that's it. In fact, I'll take this bit off the top. Because what I'd like to do, if we can identify what those things are, and I've made sure there's plenty of room, thank you. I've made sure there's plenty of room, so if you spot some things that I haven't spotted, we can still write them on the balloon as well. Okay? So, I'm going to start the ball rolling, because, there we are, there's money. Okay? One of the things that Jesus said we don't need to worry about is money. We need to seek his kingdom first. Okay? Now, have a look at the passage. Can you tell me anything else that Jesus said we don't need to worry about? Yes? Clothes. Yep. That doesn't mean we walk around without any. Okay. Money and clothes on here. All right. What? Yeah? Life. That's right. Worry about life. Lots of people worry about that, don't they? Alia, sorry. Food. Who's worried about the dinner right now? Well, my children are cooking ours. I'm worried about ours too. But that's not quite what it means. So food, clothes, money, life. Okay. Yeah? Tomorrow. Yep. Yep, tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? I'm worried about tomorrow. I started fitting a bathroom on Saturday. And I've taken the day off to finish it tomorrow, and it ain't going to happen. I've encountered too many problems already, but there we are. I'm told not to worry about tomorrow. So, any others? Yeah? What we drink, that's right. Well done. So there, the things that... What we drink. So we've got food. The reason I've got a clear balloon is I can read it from this side. Food, clothes, money, life, tomorrow, drink. There's six, and I'd only found five. Anybody find any others? Yeah? Sorry. Work. Yep. Yeah. We can put that on. Okay. About your body. Oh, yes. How's those New Year's resolutions going? You'd forgotten all about them by now, hadn't you? But did you resolve to have a leaner, fitter body? I'll let you into a secret, shall I? I'm a stone lighter than I was on New Year's Day. So there you go. But we worry about our body, and gym memberships and everything have gone up in recent years, haven't they? And it's a booming industry. So a lot of people worry about their body. Anything else in the passage? I know there's lots of things we worry. Have you got one more? Crying? I guess that people will cry over a lot of these things. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to put in here a great big question mark. All right? Because for all of us, there are lots of things that worry us, aren't there? There are lots of things that we spend our time fretting about and that stop us from thinking about God. And when we come to worship on a Sunday morning, instead of our minds being focused on actually him and what he has done and on worshipping him, our minds are just going off at tangents, aren't they? And remembering people that we know who are in situations, or remembering circumstances that we're in or that we'll be facing. Excuse me. Thank you. And so much of our time when we could be worshipping God, I'll look after it over here. There we are. So much of the time when we could be worshipping God, we spend worrying about other things. Now, what I'd like us to do is to sing a song that reminds us that Jesus will take care of these things. It's an old one, but it's a good one. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It's number 593. And I'm going to invite you to stand and sing this together. And while we sing it, you just watch the balloon. And that's it. While we've been singing, the balloon has been going down. Just to remind us that all these things that worry us, we can still see them. We can probably see them more clearly. Our bodies, our money, our clothes, our food, tomorrow, our lives, our work, what we drink, or whatever it may be, when we bring these things to God and seek Him first, these are things that He takes care of. And they're not things that we need to worry about at all. I want to illustrate something now using another trick. And I want us to think for a moment about not just the things that worry us, but this block. It's just a block of wood. It's quite hollow. The block, not my head. And there's a hole through it. And I want you to imagine, now this may be very hard, but I want you to imagine that this block represents all the wrong things that you have ever done. Okay, I don't mean collectively, I mean you as an individual. Imagine all the wrong things that you've ever done are represented by this block. Okay, now, if my wife was here, she'd say, well, Richard, if that was all the wrong things you've ever done, you wouldn't be able to pick it up off the floor. But I want you to imagine that, you know, maybe there are times in your life when you've said things that were not... Excuse me. Let's get the bits I need so they're all ready. Right. Here are all the wrong things that I have ever done, represented by this block. But for you, this is all the wrong things that you have ever done. All right? And I want you to imagine what it would be like. And maybe in there are times when you've not quite told the truth. Maybe there's times in there when you've taken things that weren't yours. And, you know, when you think about it, your conscience reminds you of those kind of things. Maybe it's times when you've used language that wasn't quite right. Or maybe you only thought it. But nevertheless, everything that you have ever done represented by this. And here... is okay, here are some ropes, and what I'd like to do is I'd actually like to get a couple of volunteers, if I may. I think I need a couple more mums, actually, to volunteer. You don't look like a mum to me. Hen's getting a bit frayed. I'm going to feed these on here. Any mums to volunteer? Excellent. Oh, here we are. Two mums coming. Excellent. Good. Because what I'm going to do is all the wrong things that you and I have ever done, I'm going to put them on this rope. Doesn't want to go in. That's it. Okay. Now, what I'd like you to do is to very carefully take hold of that end, and if you would come this side and carefully take hold of this end, okay, and just hold it gently and up nice and high so it's up with me. And what I'd like you to do, if you will, is just drop one end of the rope. Hold one and drop the other one. That's it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just tie some knots in it like this. Okay, excellent. You can have that back, and you can have that back. Right? So, here's all the wrong things that I've ever done. And I've tied some knots in it now, because you remember we were talking about things that we worry about? Yeah? And you know how there are times when, you know, our worries and our concerns make us feel all tied up in knots inside. Now, I've moved them, haven't I? Here we are. I have this white block. Now, this is only for the purpose of the illustration today. Right? This is... quite an irreverent illustration, I'm afraid, but it works. I want you to imagine that this represents God. This is not God. God is not made out of a block of wood, and I'm not suggesting that at all. But just for the purpose of today, I want you to imagine that this is God, and I've painted the block white, because unlike me, God hasn't ever done anything wrong. He's without sin, the Bible tells us. What I'd like you to do is put the two ends together and feed that onto the rope I'm sorry, the end's getting a bit frayed up. Little tag. Okay, excellent. I'll bring that down. Okay. And so there we have all the wrong things that I've ever done. And when I say I, don't forget, this is you, not me. Well, it's me as well, but you know what I mean. All right? And here's a white block representing God, who is without sin. Okay? And now, I'm going to have a block. And who can tell me what this one represents? Jesus? No. Good guess. Good guess. What was yours? Us. Why would it be painted green? It's because it's the only colour paint that I had left. This represents us. Well done. If you'd like to put that on the ropes. Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay. So here we have it. All right. Here's God. Here's me. You. Us. Here. Now, if I want to get to know God, what's the problem? I'm just seeing if my illustration is very clear, right? If I want to get to know God, what's the problem? What gets in the way? All the wrong things that I've ever done get in the way, and so if I want to get to know God, and if He wants to get to know me, it can't happen, can it? Because no matter how hard I shove on this bit of rope, or on this bit of rope, with all those wrong things in the way, can't get there. Yeah, do you agree with that? Does it work? Yeah? So, unless we can deal with these wrong things, we can't get to know God in the way that we should. And there's all these worries and anxieties as well, tying us all up in knots inside. But of course, the good news of the Bible is very simple, isn't it? And that is that Jesus came in order to deal with those wrong things that we have done. Is that right? Yeah? I'm not preaching. You're doing the preaching here because you're all agreeing with me. All right, so I'm going to cover this up. And I want you to imagine that this cloth represents Jesus. And when He died on the cross, can you tell me what His last words were? Father, forgive them weren't His last words, but they were some of His last words. He cried out, "It's finished." And there, all the wrong things that we've done, they've fallen on the floor. That's not what happened to them on the cross. That's just an illustration. But on the cross, Jesus paid the price for them and took them away so that we could get to know God in the way that He wants us to. Thank you very much, my helpers. Lovely. And you can find the trapdoor later. And so when Jesus said, "Don't worry," saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Seek first His kingdom. Whenever you worry about your money, or about what you're going to eat, or what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear, or about tomorrow, or about life, or about your body, or whatever it may be, just remember what God wants you to do is not to worry about those things, but use it as a stimulus to pray, to seek Him first. After all, what Jesus did on the cross was enough to set us free from those things. And when we trust Him, when our hope is founded in Him, the Bible says we can have peace, we can have forgiveness, and we can know that He will look after us, whatever the circumstances around us. We're going to close with a song, number 1346, which is no good looking for it because it's not in your books. It's going to come up on the screen here. "In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song." What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for that truth. Help us when we worry to remember the certainty that we have in you, the provisions that you make for us, and the love that you give to us. Lord, make us more like Jesus in the way that we live throughout this week, and we ask it in his name. Amen.